Well, welcome back to HealthLink On Air, produced each week by Upstate Medical University and University Hospital. This is your host, Tricia Torrey, every patient's advocate, and I'm here in the studio this morning with Dr. Robert Carhart, cardiologist and associate professor of medicine at Upstate. A perfect conversation for Valentine's Day. Dr. Carhart, we're glad you're here.
Thank you.
So we were talking about women and men and their differences, say, in the way they experience a heart event. Mm-hmm. But I also want to ask about, in the big picture, do you find differences, say, among different racial backgrounds, among age groups? What differences do you find just in the general population? We've all watched TV for years. We've watched white males suffer heart attacks. But what do we need to know when we aren't white male?
Well, I think it's important, first of all, to understand that women are at as great a risk of having heart disease as men.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that, you know, while your risk of heart disease goes up as you get older, that doesn't prevent a 28 or 30-year-old, for example, from having a heart attack. And certainly how they present tends to be the more dramatic. It tends to be that classic that you would see in terms of the chest pain radiating down the arm, the sweating, the feeling that this is the end.
This is the end, yeah.
And that tends to be something that you'll see more consistently in younger patients. Again, it's just the suddenness of it all.
Mm-hmm.
You know, in terms of cultural backgrounds, it's sometimes the acceptance or the understanding. It is known that African Americans, for example, are at higher risk for high blood pressure. And, you know, that leads to the risk of cardiac disease. And so there are differences in terms of cultural, even with compliance with medications and trying to follow the doctor's instructions. I mean, sometimes it's a conflict between what the expectations are as opposed to what, you know, they are told to do.
I see. All right. So we know there are some of those differences. So now mm-hmm. I want to step back and talk about individual patients. If I understand correctly, the two things that I know can be measured that can sort of give me indications if I'm going in the right or wrong direction are blood pressure and cholesterol. And those have been classic for a very long time.
Absolutely.
All right. So are those things that I need to typically measure at the doctor's office? How frequently do I need to measure them? I mean, I'm in my 50s, so give me some guidance here.
I'll give you some guidance. Well, in terms of the cholesterol, it's certainly appropriate. There's a huge debate that reigns in terms of what age to start measuring cholesterol. The United States Public Health Service believes after the age of 30, you probably should have a baseline cholesterol. You know, if you look at some of the other expert panels, they believe that the age should be younger. Again, trying to stress the opportunities to make changes in lifestyle early on.
Sure,
so it
earlier.
Does not become an issue.
That's right.
If you have your cholesterol checked at your doctor's on an annual physical and it's not elevated, once a year is usually sufficient.
Okay.
In terms of blood pressure, it's a little more difficult to give you kind of a time frame. You know, some people will walk into their doctor's office and their blood pressure will be high because
they're in the doctor's office.
They're in the doctor's office.
What do they call it? White
coat
syndrome.
White coat hypertension. Yep. Absolutely. Uh-huh. And, you know, no one really knows what to specifically do with that because it's unclear if that means that's somebody that's at risk for developing hypertension or just somebody that's anxious.
Sure.
Your blood pressure varies throughout the day. So having it checked periodically, especially if it was elevated, so, you know, once or twice a week for a month, for example, just to see what the trend is. And, you know, there's the opportunity now, grocery stores, drug stores, they all have those blood pressure cuffs. They may not be perfect,
mm-hmm.
but they're going to give you some sense.
Sure.
And that's helpful just to keep track of your risk.
So those are things that we can do as individuals just to kind of keep our own mind on the potential.
Absolutely.
And tracking those kinds of things. All right, let's talk a little bit about treatment. Mm-hmm. There are drugs that I can take to control the blood pressure, control the cholesterol. Those are not exactly the same drugs as drugs I might take if I've already had a heart event. So let's talk about these that I might be able to take that the doctor would prescribe for me. What's going with those right now? For instance, I know Lipitor runs out of its patent pretty soon.
Pretty soon.
Are we going to stop hearing about Lipitor? You think we'll hear about even more so? Tell me what you think.
Well, actually, it's interesting because I think that from the standpoint of the statins as a class, and these are medications used to lower
the cholesterol
and
right.
lower the bad cholesterol specifically,
sure.
or the LDL.
Uh-huh.
There really are only two major brand names that are still out there. Lipitor, as you mentioned, is going off patent soon, And that really is probably one of the more potent drugs that are on the market.
And we should mention the reason it's important that it's going off patent is that therefore somebody will make a generic and much less expensive version of it.
Much less expensive, right. Absolutely. Okay. And that's going to be key because it'll be more widely available through certainly a lot of insurance plans.
Sure.
Right now, you have to have a reason to be on Lipitor, which means you've failed every other generic out there.
Uh-huh, okay.
There's a lot of steps you have to go through to get that.
Okay.
And I think that will help because it provides the opportunity for people with very high cholesterols to have something that they can get access to, even for primary prevention.
I see, okay.
And from the standpoint of cholesterol medicines, the statins are, you know, tried and true. They've gone through multiple trials. They've been around for a very long time. There really isn't anything better as it stands right now.
And there are side effects from them. There are people suffer them more or less, depending on how they tolerate these medicines. So we should make that clear. And what about blood pressure?
Well, it's probably important to know that coming up sometime in the next few months, there will be a new expert panel study released, the National Commission on Hypertension, will be releasing their 8th edition of how to manage high blood pressure. Most of the medications that are available to treat high blood pressure are generic. So
been around for many, many years.
Absolutely.
Right.
And so the availability of those drugs is widespread. The expense is pretty small. And again, it's really the question and what everyone is waiting for with this expert panel discussion is when to start treatment.
Aha, uh-huh. At what age?
At what age and at what level
terms
of the blood pressure.
I see.
So this, you know, it's sort of one of these stay tuned events.
Sure. And then recently in the news, they started talking about Crestor again. Tell us what the big deal is with Crestor.
Well, Crestor is the other brand name statin or medication to lower your cholesterol. And Crestor is trying to find their niche, if you will, in the market. And Crestor was really kind of emphasizing the fact that they lower markers for inflammation, which is related to having high cholesterol.
Okay.
And it reduces, again, reducing your risk for a cardiac event. Crestor, in addition, has a different set of interactions with medications than Lipitor does. It's metabolized different in the liver. So you can use Crestor in conjunction with some medications that you can't use Lipitor with.
So it's a choice between what you're already doing and what it is you need. So,
absolutely.
And you just work with that with your doctor to get the answers for that. Now, speaking of things that have just been approved by the ADA or the news, is there anything on the horizon we should know about? What tests? You said there's the High Blood Pressure Commission, Hypertensive Commission is coming out with something. Anything else we should be aware of?
Well, there are several things.
Okay.
And, you know, we should mention Upstate is now going to be opening a new Heart and Vascular Institute.
Oh, really?
The construction is underway.
Really? Yes. And where is that going to be located?
And on the 6th floor of University Hospital.
Excellent. Excellent.
And so from the standpoint of local news, that's what's on the horizon.
Okay.
In sort of the more global picture, I think the important things in terms of what's on the horizon from medication standpoint, there's several new drugs for patients who have to take Coumadin or warfarin long-term for their heart problems.
Those are blood thinners,
right? Blood thinners.
Uh-huh.
There are several alternatives to Coumadin being developed that are within various testing stages. And the importance to that is that Coumadin, unfortunately, interacts with a lot of medications.
Oh.
It interacts with things you eat. Mm. It needs to be monitored very frequently. So they're trying to develop a medication that is as good as Coumadin, but does not have a lot of those effects.
Has the same positive effects, but maybe not so many of the side effects?
Absolutely.
Okay, all right.
You know, there continues to be research in the cell therapy, if you will.
Okay. Like personalized medicine kinds of
things?
Well,
actually, you know, one of the things that's always been viewed is when you have a heart attack, your heart muscle cells die. They don't grow back.
Oh.
And for a very long time, there's been efforts to try to figure out a way to put new muscle cells into that heart and get it to work.
Mm-hmm.
Those studies are still ongoing. There's some favorable data that's coming out of very small trials where you're actually injecting heart muscle cells into a heart that's experiencing a heart attack
really?
To get it to grow new muscle.
Kind of like cell transplant kinds of things?
Yeah, that's probably the best way to think about it.
Interesting. But it sounds like a long way off.
It is. And whether or not that ever will occur is important. for sort of long-term outcomes.
Very good. It's always fascinating, and I know that we've had you here talking about other developments that have been talked about. I remember we talked a couple of years ago about the Vitorin study and the Courage study. It's always fascinating, and we're running out of time, which I just think is such a bummer because I would love to talk to you even more about this. But I do want to make sure we mention you're going to be at HealthLink. How can I stop this heart from breaking? That's such a great title. On February 22nd from 6 to 7 p.m. Very good. You'll be talking about some of these same
kinds
of things?
Same things.
And answering questions for people?
Absolutely.
Marvelous. So if people want to sign up for it, they can register at 464-8668, which is Upstate Connect. Well, Dr. Robert Carhart, it's always a treat to have you here, especially on Valentine's Day this year. Thanks so much for coming by.
No problem.
And listeners, we do need to take a break. Please stay with us. This is Upstate's HealthLink on air on 570 WSYR.